Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a special treat for you today. We have an old friend on the show from years gone by, Doug Hagman of The Hagman Report. And you know, he seemingly is, every time I turn around, someone's sending me one of Doug's shows. And they're really good. And I got the bright idea this week. I thought, you know, I think it'd be kind of fun to have Doug on. And we both interview some really interesting people and to compare notes about what's going on in the world. But before we join Doug, though, we got to take care of that thing called business. And we have picked sponsors now. We've really narrowed down what we do. Excuse me. And we've picked sponsors that we feel strongly that you're going to need. And that's really the way I say it. We are entering crisis period right now, folks. Everyone says poor Germany, poor France, they're all going to freeze to death in Europe. Well, you know, Gretchen Whitmer's doing that to the people of Michigan, and they're having record lows, and they're going to have huge snowfalls coming. This isn't America. It's going to be in New England. We are being systematically destroyed as a nation. So I looked at it and I said, okay, what do I feel people need to have? I believe you need to have food, water filtration, because there's going to be grid downs, believe me. And also, too, we are looking at how do you preserve your nest egg. So let me get started real quick here. We represent My Patriot Supply, the largest food supplier in the world, and they are one of the few left standing. There's not many left. Most of them have sold out to the government or they've gone bankrupt. MPS has kept their prices the same. They still have specials. The 3-month, the 4-week. It's fantastic what they do. 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. Remember, you're eating to survive. You're not eating to lose weight. And they have lots of diversity in the food, so you won't get sick of it. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. You better store, folks. The food supplies. Just look at the geoengineering stuff. Chemtrailing. The White House is now admitting to this. And it's bringing 18% less sunlight to the earth. That means lower crop yields, folks. They are attacking your food supply in every way they can so they can control you. How do you like bugs? If not, you better go to foodwithdave.com. Also, the grid down. People of Britain have already been told you're probably going to lose power on really cold days between 4 and 7 p.m. Make sure you wear 2 sweaters, shut up, and stop bitching. And that's basically what the European leaders who've sold out to the World Economic Forum are telling their people as they sacrifice their population on the altar of the green cult. Well, let's learn a lesson from it right now. You're going to need water filtration if the grid stays down for any length of time, and you may have to scavenge for water. Now, it's generally not hard to do, but you better have something that works because waterborne illness has become the number one cause of death on the fifth day of a crisis. And we have it, the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. If you go to waterwithdave.com, you'll read all the research. They are number one in the industry at filtration. They also, too, have not raised their prices. They also, too, are offering specials. This is so unbelievably rare. So go to waterwithdave.com. And then finally, preserving your nest egg. What do you come out of these crises on the other side with? Well, we know the globalists want you to come out with nothing. You'll own nothing and be happy. Well, no, we're not going to be happy. We're going to preserve as much as we can. And Noble Gold is in that business. And I started advertising for them 5 years ago. 4 years ago, I became a customer. Now, I have to say this. Past earnings are no reflection of future earnings, and investments are inherently risky. That's the FTC requirement, okay, which they're largely full of. You know what? Noble Gold is the best there is. Best customer service. I love them. And they will diversify for you in so many different ways. But they're on the aggressive plank right now. They're going after silver because silver is being underproduced, and silver is the element of the New Green Deal. And although I don't want the New Green Deal, if we can't stop it right now, we may as well make money off of it. And that's exactly what they're planning to do. They're moving aggressively into silver. And this is an offensive move where their other strategies are more defensive to help you protect your nest egg. I would say talk to them. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show sent you. We're good friends with the people. We interview Colin Plume, the owner, many, many times because he is an economic expert. Well, Doug Hagman, no stranger to anybody in this. And Doug needs no introduction. You know where his show is. He's everywhere. He does these special interviews. They're fantastic. The guests he gets, I'm thinking, wow, man, that was a great show. and someone will send me and say, you need to interview this guy that Doug had. And I think, yeah, you're right. This is a great interview. And we're here to compare notes. Doug, too long that we haven't talked. It's so good to have you on the show. And how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much, and I just want to make sure, is the audio okay for you?
Yeah, if you back away from the mic just a tad. All right. We've already, isn't it interesting, the gremlins have already started. Hey, I was interviewing Doug Thornton, former DHS officer, the other day, and he didn't hear it, but it came in on my end. The theme from the NFL started playing right in the middle of the interview.
Wow.
Do you get those anomalies? Do you get those interferences too?
We do. And we have, and I want to thank Eric the Tech publicly. He has created some firewalls that have stopped things like that, or at least mitigated things like that from happening. So, but however, they keep trying. And, when people say that, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that say, well, it's just your inadequacies. You guys are just hooking up the wires wrong or something like that. It's your fault. No. I mean, you've got some absolute in-your-face stuff going on. You especially. I'm telling you, you are a target especially. And it shows the desperation, I think, of what we are, the people – who we are up against. I believe it shows their desperation. They're desperate. Alex Jones said this, and I think I'm just trying to, I'm not sure if he originated this statement, but it's, the globalists, we've got them. They're afraid. They are absolutely afraid, and we can win if we persist. I mean, the amount of information that you put out, I'm talking about Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show, puts out, that alone could be used, in my view anyway, as a courtroom exhibit against the globalist leaders behind the puppets in government. So if you multiply that by the people who are in the what would you call it? The new media, not the alternative, but the new media. They're afraid. They're afraid of people waking up. People are waking up, and the more people who wake up, the more people we have on our side to fight against these morons. So I think we're making a difference, and I think this shows their desperation.
Well, they are desperate, and they should be afraid of our numbers because we could overwhelm them. But they're in the, shall we say, the mode of systematically reducing the population. They're killing the birth rate on one end. They're championing anything that ends in death and lacks procreation, like abortion, for example, LGBTQ. To me, and I know you probably feel the same way, we all have to answer to God. You want to go ahead and do some weird stuff behind closed doors, weird stuff by my definition, I don't care. Don't bring it to my kids. Don't sell my kids your sexualization BS in the classrooms. And fine, go answer to God at the end of your life, same as I will. But the thing is they're not giving us a choice. They're foisting this infertility on us. They're poisoning the food. I mean, I've seen evidence now from some scientists I talked to. We have graphene oxide being put into our food right now. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, through you initially. And then I researched it, and the more I researched, the more I wanted to cry. But you said something though. I just want to, before we get too far into this, they're going to have to answer to God. They don't want to answer to God. They want to be immortal. That's why people like Yuval Noah Harari, for example, are saying we can live forever. And they're attempting to avoid judgment, in my view, mm-hmm. at least in part. Okay, so that's part of it. But no, the graphene oxide in the food, pretty soon there will be nothing left that's organic. And I never understood, or I didn't really understand the depths of the biblical statement as in the time of Noah, as I do now. Because at the time of the flood, everything was corrupted. The animal DNA was corrupted. The people DNA was corrupted. And even I would argue, although I can't prove this, the produce and the vegetation and you know, all of the food stuff was corrupted, the DNA of the living items. And I think that's where we're headed right now. And I don't think it's going to be too long before God is going to say, no, 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 not this, not again. You're not going to win. That's my view.
I agree with you. You're kind of taking me back to something, like, speaking of Doug Thornton, that we discussed last night on the show. And we do something, as you probably know, the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And
yes,
Doug and I are the belief with Genesis 6. And I just want to get your reaction to this. And you have to almost entertain this as a hypothesis and accept it on faith. But when the fallen angels came here, and this is actually taught in NSA NATO training, or was in 1989, to Vance Davis, former agent who's been on my show a ton, and we've been friends for 30 years. He tells this story. He says, we were told that the bad guys lost in the cosmos, they were thrown down to Earth. He said they used non-religious terms, but he said, I knew exactly what they were talking about with Genesis 6. And he said, we have different DNA. We have two DNAs. The flood did not totally wipe it out and exists today. And there are a growing number of people, Doug, that I talk to. And some of them are actually in the ministry, but they're afraid to speak out on it. And what they are saying, and what I tend to think is probably true, is the bad DNA guys, the fallen angels, Satan's servants, if you will, have recruited people from our side of the fence. And that's the enslavement mechanism going on the planet. Fundamentally, it gets reduced to good versus evil. Do you have any view on this at all about with Genesis 6 and where it ends up in Revelations?
First of all, let me say I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm biblically literate, but certainly not an expert. So having said that, as a disclaimer, I believe that God doesn't fail at whatever he does. So I believe that the flood took care of what needed to be taken care of. However, somewhere, and I don't know how, I don't have an explanation for it, but we saw the resurgence of this corrupted DNA again. Again, that's not a failure of God, but that's a wile of Satan, I think, in my view. So, yes, I think where we're headed right now, and I would have to say this too. You have to look, I believe, people have to look at the Bible as a literal translation or a literal account of what happened, including the non-included books of the Bible, like the Book of Enoch, for example, the Book of Giants, okay, to use those materials to supplement the information in the Holy Bible. So having said that, I think right now, whatever happened back during that period of time, the knowledge, the fallen angel technology knowledge has come back. And the people like Harari, and who's, by the way, who's Klaus Schwab's spiritual leader, and the people like Schwab and others, they are pushing this on mankind through things like you mentioned, the graphene oxide. I mean, and I heard one of your shows, and I don't recall exactly when or which one, but, and I also read something on your site too, about the 5G effect of, or the, yeah, 5G, it would be the 5G effect with the interaction with the graphene oxide and the programmability of individuals. I think there's an issue there as well. So having said all of that, my theory, my working theory is we are working toward, or they are working toward this super soldier program where, you know, when we talk about fighting like, an army, they're preparing. I would also add this: they are preparing. They are turning their weapons outward toward the sky, toward space, to not to take down enemy missiles, but to take down the God of the Bible, Jesus' return, coming with the angels. That's my personal view. Okay.
You know that the end result of this chemtrailing, the White House admits to now, they say, to limit radiation coming to the Earth. Yeah, which has happened for millions of years with no side effects. Thank you very much. But I understand it forms a shield in its final stages, and that could be a defensive shield. It's interesting you just said that, because sure. I just connected these two. It's interesting.
Interesting. And look, you know, I don't know. I'm not... by any stretch of the imagination, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I like to talk to people who have the intelligence about this. You know, I know people like Steve Quayle have researched this, Paul McGuire, and others. And I think that they're on to something. When we talk about things like this, we're talking about the ultimate fight against between good and evil. And I think we're seeing that play out here in the physical. I think it's already playing out in the spiritual. And to me, there's a disconnect. When I, you know, it's going to seem like I'm diverging here a little bit, but I'm really not. But when you have parents who think it's okay to take their 6 or 7 or 8 or 12 year old child to a drag show and to see transvestites and transgendered people, when people think that's okay, Or they're excited about that, the delusion is great. So having said that, the delusion, you know, what would make anyone, a person of normal and reasonable sensibilities believe, for example, that, well, you would have to have normal and reasonable sensibilities, which we are lacking. I guess that's a better way of saying it. You know, one thing I'm familiar with, when people or when courts pick juries, they look for people with reasonable and normal sensibilities, okay, that are not biased, that are not contaminated by either the media or whatever, with as it involves the case or the larger aspects of the case. But we don't have that here in America today, or even anywhere in the West. There's a contaminated population, in my view, that is so deluded. They don't. I would venture to say, Dave, that most people could not identify the truth if it hit them in the butt. Okay, and I mean that very sorrowfully. I mean, I'm sorry to say that. They cannot. I believe the majority of people, not your audience, not the people who listen to the new media, but the people plugged into the legacy media or the people that read the legacy media, wouldn't be able to identify the truth if it hit them in the butt. It's kind of like looking up in the sky and saying, oh, yeah, that geoengineering that you see up there, that's nothing but contrails. That's normal. I used to be like that. And I used to think, okay, that's just normal stuff. But then you start digging and start asking questions and doing research and finding, wait a minute, none of this is normal. This is not normal. And that's where a lot of people, I think, have to get to. We need more people to get to that point in order to fight what we're fighting today. But I would also say this, the small vocal minority has the ability, we have collectively the ability to overtake the globalists, you know, who are pushing for this great reset. We can win, but we have to first recognize, number one, it's a spiritual battle. Number two, we did a lot of bad things, and we have to repent for what we've done, endorsing, exporting abortion, for example, you know, the killing of children, the wars, all of this. So it's an uphill battle, in my view. Or I shouldn't say uphill battle. It's a battle that with serious spiritual requirements. That's kind of my statement.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, I'm going to take this to a parallel track, but it's very much the same thing. Satan's army.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm right. Oh. Are you there, Doug? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Interesting. They just my mic went dead for a second. Anyway, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I want to go to a slightly parallel track here. The spiritual warfare has reached a level where Satan's army has taken over American institutions. And I'll give you an example. The FBI and the DOJ. Merrick Garland is one of Satan's best representatives on the face of the earth. They send their goon squads out to kick in the doors of parents who dare to protest against sexualization of their children in the first grade. First graders shouldn't be hearing about oral sex. But in Merrick Garland's world, if you go publicly and say this, we're coming to get you. And I'm talking about Sharona Bishop, who I interviewed back in November of 2021. Had her door kicked in, guns pointed at her head, her teenage daughter manhandled, and she committed the crime of protesting at a school board meeting, breaking no laws. She wasn't arrested, wasn't charged with anything, but the FBI. Then there's this guy, I forget his name now, but he was a Holocaust survivor. This person's a Holocaust survivor, protesting on the sidewalk with a sign against abortion, and the FBI handcuffs him and takes him to prison. This is what we are looking at now, the institutionalization by Satan of American institutions. And this, to some people, they'll say, Dave, you've lost your mind. You've become so radical. Satan infesting the FBI? Yes, absolutely.
100%. I agree with you on that. I know of Sharona Bishop. I'd love to talk with her on air, but your interview with her, fabulous. And I have to say that I think the tactic here is to motivate by way of fear. In other words, dissuade people from going into school board meetings by calling them domestic violent extremists. Redefining what a violent extremist is, and obviously, anyone who objects to the curricula of the school boards, you know, with the pornography, with the perversity, you are not only intolerant, you're not only homophobic, but you are acting against the law. And the law is not really a law at all. It's just whatever they come up with as policy, mm-hmm. and the policy is that of inclusion. So, but they're trying to scare us. But if we would leave fear aside and stand up and say, together, stand up and say no. And we're seeing this happen, which is scary. What I'm seeing, I've been talking to people who are saying, look, this is really scaring the daylights out of the left, the progressive communist idiots, okay, the people who are pushing for this. We can't have this uprising. So, yes, we have to have the DOJ involved. We have to have the FBI involved. We have to deplatform, not just deplatform, but debank or make sure you can't shop or use the bank or use the – it's kind of like what they did with the so-called vaccine. If you don't have it, you can't fly on a plane. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, that's how they are. In my view, that's how they are attempting to control our behavior. But you know what? I see parallel. I don't want to say societies, but I see parallel efforts rising up and saying, you know what? Not in our world. Not in this venue. You're not going to make us do this. So, although I'm not optimistic about how this plays out, I am optimistic about the end because I've read the book, and the book says that we win, and I believe the book, and I'm talking about the Bible. However, there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of fights, and I'm not afraid to fight, and I know you're not either. I'm not afraid to have my door kicked in. I'm expecting that anytime. Okay.
Me too.
And you know what? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I read his stuff. I've read his stuff. Solzhenitsyn, all of these people have gone before us and they've stood up and said, you know what? No more. This is no more. And they paid the ultimate price for it. Bonhoeffer did, paid the ultimate price for it. But we have to fight. We have to fight with everything we have. In my view, we have to do it right now. I mean, we're looking at World War III right now. We're at the cusp of the World War III. This is what people accuse President Trump of starting. Yet you've got Joey Six Plugs or Joey Two Scoops in the White House, and NATO. I mean, this is beyond. Again, it goes back to that delusion factor. So that's where we're at.
Well, you mentioned vaccines, and I want to get this out here on the public airwaves because I've been shocked at how many people I've asked that do not know this. But a doctor, and his name jumps out of my head right now, from Johns Hopkins, was interviewed recently on Fox, and he detailed something, I believe it was yesterday. He said that the CDC right now is holding meetings to include mandatory COVID vaccinations as a prerequisite to attend public school. And I looked
today.
It is the meetings today. You're exactly right. To me, I look at the silver lining in this. One is, first of all, let's look at the reality. One is, with regard to COVID in kids, it's contraindicated. It's an unneeded treatment. Number two, we have so much medical evidence that the jab didn't stop the transmission. In fact, you're at greater risk for having side effects. You're at greater risk for getting sick and dying if you've had the vaccination. And that's what the mortality stories tell us. Let's take a look, though, at the silver lining. Doug, the silver lining is this. Any school district that adopts this, I'm hoping that we'll see 80% of the parents take their kids out and they'll form local communities where they'll homeschool their kids.
Amen.
Of course, you know what they'll do, though? The government will outlaw homeschooling just like they did in Nazi Germany. And I'm talking Nazi Germany circa 2022.
But, you know, and they could very well do that. But there comes a point in time, and I've seen this happen over the last decade that I've been really paying attention. I've always heard the phrase, well, that's not the hill I want to die on. That's not my hill to die on. But, you know, I have not seen anyone say, okay, that's the hill that I'm willing to die on. By the way, you should make the opposition die on that hill, not you. But anyway, now I think we're to the point where it's either fish or cut bait. Now we have to say, okay, enough is enough. I've seen enough. You're not touching my grandchildren. You're my children. You're not going to allow this. And, you know, we have to not be afraid to fight. There is such a thing as righteous anger, biblical righteous anger as a Christian and certainly as a conservative. But we have, again, you know, the so-called vaccine, the injecticide that we've seen, you see a whole lot of smoke and bluster coming out of Congress, specifically Rand Paul. I like Rand Paul. But what have we seen in terms of holding these people accountable for the death toll from the clot shot, from the injecticide? Have we seen any kind of justice? No. No, we haven't. Of course, the entirety, in my view, of the scientific, medical, and pharmaceutical community is infested, as you said, with satanic, demonic, communist, paid off people that, you know, would sell out their own mother. But we haven't seen anything, any kind of holding people accountable. I'm to the point right now, and this is my own personal opinion. I'm not advocating this. I can understand. I would be understanding if I saw people like Fauci hanging from a rope from a light post. Okay, I would understand that. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I would understand that. You read books by if you read RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Dr. Fauci, The Real Anthony Fauci, and other materials, the studies that they want to keep from us for years upon years upon years. And you see what they are doing to us, and more importantly, our children, what they're doing to us and the future generations, sterilizing us. Of course, the older you get, of course, the less that you would worry about that, but for your kids and for their children, they are attempting to kill us in that fashion. And they already have made great strides in that. But for all the bluster, I guess what I'm getting at, for all the bluster, are we seeing any justice? We're not. You know, my friend, I'm have no problem calling him my friend, Alex Jones, going through this show trial. Where is the justice in what we saw in two trials? Where is the justice with Steve Bannon, who I've met but I don't know? He's being sentenced on Friday for contempt of Congress. Well, what happened to Eric Holder, who was held in contempt of Congress but never, ever, 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 ever made to never held to account for that? And others, so many others. Kissinger was at one point was in contempt of Congress. So having said all of that, we're playing, in my view, we're playing a game that the only way to win is to knock the board over, not to play, and hold the opponent accountable ourselves, by we the people.
Yeah, I look at this in two stages myself. First of all, I want to back up 8 months ago, and I'm not thumping my chest, but I do in my private moments, but I say it doesn't get me anywhere. And here's what I mean by that. 8 months ago, I adopted the policy to unelect every Republican incumbent because rhinos infect everybody to various degrees. Some are intolerable, like Mitch McConnell, who's purposely sabotaging 8 senatorial races by withholding funding. That's one aspect. But we need to get rid of these people. But the infestation of evil is so widespread that the Republicans take money from the same sources that control the Democrats. So why do you expect a huge difference in result? There is a difference. If we unelect all the Democrats now that we've missed the opportunity to purge our ranks in the primaries of the rhinos and bring fresh blood in like J.D. Vance, hey, we've missed that opportunity largely. I mean, yes, we got rid of Liz Cheney. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree with Daddy, who was part of 9/11. Let's say it on the record here. But, Doug, the bottom line is here is that we're going to elect Republicans that we can't fully trust to various degrees. And if the red wave is successful, and that's a caveat, too, because election theft. But if the red wave is successful, we've taken the threat to America from a 10 to about an 8.5. If you want to bring it down to a 4 or a 5, we now have to start using the power of recall for staying political and nonviolent after the election for anyone who doesn't fall into line with the Constitution. And that would require an awake populace. Now, here's the caveat, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. The JCPA, the Journalism Competition and Protection Act, now endorsed for censorship against people like you and me and Breitbart. Okay? The JCPA, endorsed by now Ted Cruz, John Kennedy of Louisiana, Rand Paul's still on the fence. This is a bill that's passed committee. Tom Cotton's is officially against it, and it's Amy Klobuchar. There's not a bigger communist in Congress than her. She's as bad as Liz Cheney, just not as vocal. And she is backing this, and it will effectively censor you and me. It'll allow collusion without violating antitrust laws or giving them the exemption to both fix advertising rates and to censor people of their choice. And that's the JCPA. They're moving to take away our voice so we can't wake up the people and, I think, complete the task of the red wave. How do you respond to that, Doug?
That's their intent. That's been their intent all along. They do it through lawfare. They do it through legislation, like you're referencing. They're going to do whatever it takes. And I would even posit that they've done it by killing people. Okay, that got too close to the truth. So people might say, well, that's a pretty bad statement or a pretty significant statement to make without proof. Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily take a lot of hard proof when you have so much circumstantial evidence. So what I'm saying is 100% you're accurate. And with people like that on our side, or saying that they're on our side, you know, like you had mentioned, some Rand Paul being on the fence about this. Well, there shouldn't be a fence to be on. Okay, none of this is right. None of this is proper. We have a First and Second Amendment to our Constitution. I don't think you could smack somebody over the head with a copy of the Constitution in our Congress. The 535. I would say maybe 530 have no idea what the Constitution says. Maybe five might. and of that five, or I'll even go a half a dozen, really understand how it applies to today. So all that said is, you know what, Dave, they're coming after you. Okay. I have to say this, and I'm not kidding. When you reached out to me earlier, because we, you know, our schedules are so different. It's difficult to really get together. I was waiting for that, hey, guess what happened to me moment. Hey, I got my door kicked in. Hey, I'm, I'm being charged with sedition or treason or conspiracy or whatever, you know, whatever the flavor might be. And I'm serious. I was waiting for those words to come out of your mouth, because I know people that have that went to Capitol on January 6th. I know people who were in D.C. on January 6th, but not even near any prohibited areas of the Capitol, who have been charged by the January 6th committee. This is an out of control rogue committee that should never have. I mean, it's not even lawful, legal, constitutional. But the fact is, they're using this to shut down some of the largest voices in America. And I'll just say this one last time, and I mean this. I believe the only way out of this, Dave, the only way out of this is going to be if we stand up and if we are willing and show them we are willing to fight. And take that for what it's worth. I'm not advocating a fight. I'm not saying we should be we should be offensive. But what I'm saying is, you know, you've already taken so much from us. You're not going to take any more. And by the way, some of the stuff you've taken from us, we're getting back. And we're going to play by your rules. And your rules aren't very fair to us. So we're going to see how you like it. But we have to start playing offensively. Now, on a different note, we have to start playing offensively like Sharona Bishop, like the people who go to these school board meetings and council meetings. And we have to do it on a local basis first, I believe. We have to make sure the sheriffs locally are on our side. Law enforcement is on our side. And if they're not, then we kick them out, or we have to just deal with what we've got. And by dealing with what we have, I mean, look, I'm not, you know, the older I get, I'll just say this. My wife says, man, you've lost your filter, because you're getting old. You lost your, yeah, I've got no problem with losing my filter. Life in prison means less to me the older I get. Okay. And I'm not saying that is bravado and all this, and there's no threat there, but what I'm saying, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to take from me? What are you, you know, if you want me to live like a slave, I'll be damned if you're going to make me. I'm not going to live on my knees. I'm going to live the rest of my days on my feet. And oh, by the way, I am going to make sure that my children and their children live on their feet as well, free and enjoy the life that that they should enjoy. So whatever it takes, I'm willing. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, Dave.
Yeah, I know. That's why they want to target us in the JCPA. They have to take away our voice. I've kind of looked at this, and I've done kind of a demographic overview. I think 50% of the country is marginally awake. I think 20% of the country is pretty awake, but only about 2% of the country is doing any work. And that's how I break this down. And here's my issue with this. We really don't have to wake up that many more people. Nice is better. But if we could just get people to act, who knows what's going on, but think somehow the cloud of judgment's going to pass over their house. If we could just get them to act and do things. I tell my audience every day on YouTube, I tell them, call two representatives a day. Who? Doesn't matter. Just call them or write to them. In fact, you can construct the same email and send it day after day after day, and they'll count it as volume because they don't read each individual response. They won't know that you're sending the same email. They just know numbers are hearing from them. And we could begin to pressure people who are more moderate in Congress to get better response. And I can't get people to do this. That's simple. That's simple of a task.
You know, I tell people the same thing. And I personally, I send out emails. I actually send postal mail, which I don't know how many people do that anymore. But anything I can do, and I think you're 100% right. Don't stop. Keep the pressure on. And, you know, it amazes me the number of people who are awake but have that fear of action. If we, you know, I say this all the time too. I mean, you think of the airport, think of 9/11 and then what happened after 9/11 with the airports. You've got this radiation stuff and you've got this full body search and all this. You know, if everyone said no to that, as opposed to, oh, I can't wait till I get to, you know, the Bahamas for my vacation. If everyone said, no, I'm not going to do this. Screw this. In fact, we tried that one time. It was, I don't know, half a dozen years after 9/11. We were part of this opt-out day, or I don't recall the specifics of it, but I do remember my platform and a couple of others had said, no, we're going to make this day. It was around Thanksgiving time, a day when you're not going to touch me, you're not going to irradiate me. Yeah, we're going to go through the normal security process, but you're not going to do these things to me like you've done in the past, or like you're attempting to do, you know, with these new security protocols. So I remember that day, the entirety of the United States, and forgive me for not knowing the day or the year, the TSA essentially stood down because there were too many people doing exactly that. So if we can keep the pressure on like that, in whatever the scenario might be, we can win. There are more of us than there are of them. And I think back to the Bible of being shown, you know, the devil or the devil, and I'm paraphrasing now. You could tell how illiterate or how basic literate I am of the Bible. You know, that's what we were afraid of. That is what was causing all this trouble. What we're afraid of, meaning that is nothing. And if we, I think collectively, but individually, especially individually, say, you know what, I'm tired of this. You're not going to do this to me, to any member of my family, whatever this might be, then I think we can win. But I think we have to do this righteously. We have to do this with a humble spirit, and knowing that we've got a whole boatload of repentance to do as well before we can have any revival. People talk about revivals. Yeah, I hear this all the time. Oh, we're gonna revive the country. Yeah, okay. Well, you better repent first before you start talking about revival. That's my view. It's nothing against having a revival. I would like one, but I don't think we can have one without the repentance. But
I agree. That said, we need to get God to lift his judgment off our country, and that's the only way to do it.
Yes. Yes.
That's no
question. And I think, you know, and when I read your website and I listen to your shows, and I'm a fan, by the way. So,
thank you.
You know, I think to myself, we've got the ammunition, metaphorically speaking, to go out and to educate others. And if you don't want to, if these people don't want to be educated, the hell with them, leave them behind. And take who we have, what we've got, and let's make sure that we can go out there and make a difference before it's before our time's up, before God calls us home. Let's make a difference. And again, I'm saying this righteously. Let's make a righteous difference. So instead of our progeny spitting on our graves, there's a little bit of reverence there, like there is with our forefathers, that, hey, they gave us something. we inherited something. What are we doing with it? And that's what bothers me. But the specificity, by the way, of your reporting and the things that you're putting the limelight on, I think is so important. The things that you're covering, the issues you're covering, so important that people need to pay attention to what your program is all about.
I appreciate that, but the bottom line is the events dictate the coverage, and here's what I mean by that. You know, it's funny. I went on and I got these advanced degrees in psychology and stat and so forth, but really, what's done me the most good, besides my upbringing and my biblical training, is the fact that I was an undergrad that had double major in history and sociology, and the planet has lived this before. All you need to do is know your history to see where it's going. I don't have a crystal ball, but it's easy to see what the next steps are. And that the second thing is too, with the sociological concept, what's going on with Antifa and the MO with this administration, never met a lie they didn't like. This has all been done before. This is all fitting into the principles. And the reason that people aren't acting in concert is because of groupthink and cognitive dissonance. Doug, this is so easy to pick apart if you know anything about the sciences. These are classic. I mean, the average person right now, it's like bystander apathy. They did this experiment in New York City about 30 years ago, and they had a guy pretend to have a heart attack and collapse on the sidewalk, and 6 hours later, people were still stepping over him. They did the same experiment in a town of 10,000 people, and immediately people rushed around, saw if they could administer CPR, called 911. I mean, this is classic, and it's called bystander apathy. If you think someone else is going to do it, well, you can sit back and not take the risk. And this is where America is right now. America knows how bad it is. But I'll tell you the one thing I can't explain, Doug, and this is the one, maybe I can get some help from you on this. We have a governor's race here in Arizona between Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs, and you have something similar going on between Mehmet Oz and what I call Fetterneck. And they're interesting parallels. Katie Hobbs is for more taxation when she was in the state legislature, open borders, want Arizona to be a sanctuary state. And now people seem to have forgotten all that. And she's in a dead heat with Carrie Lake, who wants to close the border. She wants to eliminate state tax. We know Hobbs is going to raise the taxes. And we look at it, I'm thinking, how could any of you vote for this? Hobbs has been convicted in court twice as being racist towards her own employees. Twice. Two convictions. Twice. And you look at Fetterman. His record on crime is abysmal. And crime in your state and in Philadelphia is off the charts. How could... Here's my question. This is what I am forlorn to answer. This is where my academic training doesn't help me. How could anybody vote for a Fetterman? How could anybody vote for a Katie Hobbs? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And I got to tell you, Fetterman is just a hot mess. Hobbs, I don't even know. I mean,
she's a 90s version of a Valley Girl mixed with extremist liberal views that basically she forsakes the Constitution and individual autonomy and thinks we should live in a total dictatorship.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the only thing I can think of, you know, because I see Fetterman signs as I drive around and I'm thinking, what are you thinking? I want to knock on their door and say, what's wrong with you? Have you seen Fetterman, or did somebody just put that sign there? But I can't explain that either. But here's what I do believe in a nutshell. I believe that we are about to see something happen, and it's going to happen around the midterms. I don't set dates. I don't know when or what. But I do believe it's going to affect all of us. And by that, I mean we are going to have such an economic downturn, even more than what we're having. When you think about this, just for example, during a simple 100-year period from 1900 to 2000, The national debt increased by 5.62 trillion dollars, for example. Okay. And that's after two world wars. That's after the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and FDR's massive expansion of new deals and stuff, Lyndon Johnson stuff. Okay. But now, when you look at what has been printed since then, it's beyond even that. So I see this economic Armageddon coming, and I think it's going to affect all of us, including our pensions, if you've got one, our banks. I mean, if you've got money in the bank, good luck with that. You might have some money, but you won't be able to access it or spend it because there won't be anything to spend.
The Chinese style. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're guarding the banks with tanks in China. You have money on paper, but you don't have money you can take out of the bank. And you're exactly right. That's where this is all headed. I want to throw this at you here real quick before we close. Someone asked me, I was on an interview with a really snarky smartass. You always say this and you say that. And I just tried to stay calm and answer the questions objectively. But he said something to me that shocked him. He couldn't believe my answer. He said, what if you lose? And if you're right and the voter fraud is omnipresent and they steal the election again by your words, election denier, what will you do? And I said, well, then we have to go into adaptation mode. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you see this in Europe, where they've brought in people who don't fit into European culture from the Middle East. They've created no-go zones. They've dropped out of that society. They don't pay taxes. They don't use their banks. They have their own subsystem of economics that they employ. And when the authorities go in there, they're met with extreme violence and hostility. Are you advocating violence? I said, if we get to the point where we don't have any control over our government, I'm advocating for withdrawal. And if you cross my property line, we're going to fight. He didn't know what to say. Doug, that's my bottom line here. If they push us to that point, I'm pushing for the fact that we just withdraw and drop out of their system.
Yeah, 100% behind you with that. And I think that that's probably the only answer. I would just tweak it a little bit. I don't want it to get to that point, but if it gets to that point, I'm in favor of reenacting the Battle of Athens, 1946, McMinn County, Tennessee. Okay. You're not putting the pizza boxes back up on the windows. You're not going to tell me where to stand if I'm a poll watcher or, you know, watching what you're doing. You're not going to stop the counting. Okay, we have to nip this in the bud. Nip it, as Barney Fife used to say. Nip it in the bud. And we got to get it now. And we have to not let it get to that point.
Yeah, but Doug, I talk to people, some people in the Republican Party who are actually good people. And I'll tell you what they tell you. They say the theft rate that they expect from this election is between about 15 to 18%.
Why are you even expecting it? Do something about it.
Well, that's my point.
If you're in a position.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
Thank you. Hey, Doug, we're going to run out of time, and I got to do this for our audience, because if some of them have joined the movement and they go, oh, Doug Hagman, I like how he sounds here, I want to go to his show. How do people follow your good work?
Well, thanks for asking. Just go to Hagman, two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. From there, you can get to anywhere. That's HagmanReport.com. We're on Rumble, Brighteon. I'm on Truth Social, Gab, Getter, and Parler.
You're everywhere.
Not really. I surveil as opposed to interact.
Yeah, but still you're bringing a very valuable message. And you have for decades. You were, before I was ever in this movement, before I became John McCain's attempted victim of stealing my property, I knew who Doug Hagman was. You and Steve Quayle were at the forefront, and you've been doing this for a long time. That's why I'm surprised they haven't paid you the visit, and I pray to God that they don't. You have a great show. When does your show air? I know you do daily broadcast. Tell people that.
Yeah, it airs from starts at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, the real time, I might add, in the United States, Eastern time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, and we're gonna be doing some stuff that's gonna surprise some people pretty soon.
Awesome.
More on that later.
Yeah, don't tip your hand, Doug, because We got to catch you.
No.
We're doing some election stuff coming up too. That's gonna, let's put it this way. I plan to raise some eyebrows. I'm sure you will too. The Hageman Report, ladies and gentlemen, you need to follow it. It's one of the mainstays in conservative America. Doug, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Dave, thanks so much for having me. God bless you. Thanks for doing such a great job on everything, and I appreciate you, what you do, and your program. God bless.
Thank you, Doug.